Are you one of Kirk's dogs? The hottest piece of Hawkeye merch is dropping this week. August 2nd, 2024, this Friday, the Walk-Ons drop their biggest and best design of all time. The Walk-On and George Kittle collaboration, Kirk's Dogs. This is dropping with several other limited edition items and is accompanied by some huge discounts on existing items in our online store. And speaking of discounts, if you're a Patreon member, you're going to save even more money when you purchase from the Walk-Ons. Patreon.com/washedupwalkons to sign up for that. There's plenty of other perks there as well that you're going to enjoy throughout the season and beyond. And keep your eyes peeled for the merch drop on all of our social media this upcoming Friday. You'll be able to find all of that at thewashedupwalkons.com as well. Now, on to the show. On this week's episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons, Hawkeye legend Keith Duncan joins the show. He's right here in Waukee with yours truly, but I don't get to talk to him much, so this was a fun catch-up. We rehash his NFL experience coming out of college, why he's not kicking in the league right now. We talk Coach Wallace, Coach Woods, Torrey Taylor being gone, and the special teams at Iowa. You're going to love it. Let's have a day. Let's go. In podcast, we do it again, 529 of them, maybe 530, I don't know at this point. Good friend of the show, kicker for a good portion of my snaps in college, and fellow Waukee resident, right? Still living in Waukee.
That's right.
Keith Duncan joins the show today. Dude, I miss you, dude. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, miss you too, and you live close by. I saw you recently bought a house, right?
Homeowner now, so money bags, just... You know, I own land, I own property, and I don't have any money to my name. But yes, we bought a new place, an actual home in Waukee. So it's not that cool. We live like a mile from each other, and we never see each other.
No, property taxes are cool though. I'm getting hit pretty hard here, but I guess that's part of growing up and being an adult. But no, I love Waukee and growing pretty good.
Yeah, it's awesome. How you been? How's the job? Are we still coaching like 100 kickers across the state? Like what's going on?
Yeah, no, it's good. Staying very busy, but it's a good busy. Kicking punting deal still going on here in Des Moines. Starting to see kids going off to college too. Will Safaris went to Missouri. There's some in the pipeline that I can't disclose right now, but I can't wait for those to come out. So it's finally starting to see like 3 or 4 years now, freshmen that I had in high school are now starting to kick off into college. Max Bartichek, local Waukee kid, now kicking his way in college. So it's going really well. Doing that over at Holmes Murphy, throwing around some insurance. Good times, good stuff. That's what, you know, post football, you either go med sales or insurance. And I went the insurance route. So, throwing some insurance over there. It's a good time. And then also doing Count the Kicks too. So Count the Kicks, every kick counts. And then in the spare time, also now coaching for Dowling. So upcoming. Whoa. I know. Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be a fun change upcoming for the year, and headed back to the dome is the goal.
Okay. Hold on. We have multiple things to talk about. You mentioned Safaris. We're going to talk about Kate, legend, just all-time legend. Sent us like an itinerary to talk about. Just like, I wish people would give us stuff like Kate does, so that we have, you know, like talking points. Otherwise, I just have to BS things. We've talked about Count the Kicks on this podcast before. We will get there in a little bit. I want to hit on some other things quick. You were coaching for the Northwest Wolves. As I call them, Wolves.
That's right.
As other people call them. Not sure why people would say it that way. But you're now a coach for the Dowling Catholic Maroons. Did they recruit you too?
they do not recruit. No, not at why? All. Why? No. So the why tough answer, tough question, because I do love Northwest. coaches yeah. over there were freaking awesome. I think kind of a new deal there. A lot of the kickers that I was training were over there. There's four to five that I was previously training that were over there. One of my best friends also coaches over there too. So kind of made sense. Kind of excited for the switch up a little bit, but I did absolutely love Northwest. The Dowling coaches are great as well too. So just kind of getting into the start of the year, haven't met a lot of them yet, I think the fun part about Dowling is, yes, everyone rips on them. And from an outsider's perspective, like not from Iowa, like I get it. But being in the Iowa program and now seeing how Dowling works, it's just like Iowa. And it's like super cool to see that. And I respect the heck out of it. So it's a fun time.
So the real answer is the private school could pay more. I understand. I get it.
NIL of coaching. NIL of coaching.
Keith, they came and got Keith in the coaching portal. And I get it, dude. Portal. I get it. You're a portal guy. I always knew you were.
Portal guy. This is a volunteer position, I will say as well. So there was no money transfer. But yes, all about the coaching NIL changes. If someone can pay off my student loans, let me know because I still have them.
They're giving you free Bibles, I guarantee you.
That's right.
Okay, so we're coaching at Dowling, still living in Waukee. I drive by, in fact, right by Holmes Murphy a lot because my wife and I are big fans of Smokey Row. We'll just crush a turtle mocha on the regular.
Ooh.
And you're doing insurance over there. Was that ever in the plan, or did you even wind up there?
Yeah. No, it was never in the plan. I didn't even know what Holmes Murphy was or did until I got introduced to the CEO, Dan. Very good with networking, very good with people. Kind of was chatting with him actually at the Iowa State tailgate the year after I was done. And he essentially said, "Hey, do you know what Holmes Murphy is? Come by. We'd love to give you an introduction," and kind of went from there. So it was pretty much an ideal fit for me from like a culture standpoint, and the constant challenge that I have and what I do daily, essentially going to companies and consulting on their benefits package. Yes, it sounds like but it's so much fun. I promise you, it's so much fun. It's a good time. We have a really, really good culture over there. Really, really good people. And I think that's what makes the quote unquote desk job not feel like a desk job. The best part about it is they have Smokey Row cold brew on tap. So how about that, Clove? Come by.
Are you guys hiring?
We are hiring. We're always hiring. We're growing. We have cold brew on tap. That's our selling point.
Is there a market? But, is there a need in the company for a Holmes Murphy podcast? Do you guys need an in-house podcast to talk about insurance game?
I'll
host it.
I think that'd be a great idea.
I'll fucking host the motherfucker. I'm
bringing it up. I think it's good idea. It's unique, and that's what we do. So
it's the only skill I have is sitting on podcasts. It's a good thing that Zoom blew up during the COVID era, and I just decided, you know what, we'll just do podcasts because
we only need one skill today in this world. So
I know a few things about exercise too. If anybody needs a exercise remote coach, nutrition coach, hit me up, TylerKluver.com. But Holmes Murphy, it's right there. So you knew nothing about slinging insurance when you stepped into that job?
Nothing about it. I'll also say we have a CrossFit gym downstairs too. Outside of the amenities, we do actually work.
Where do you work? What is this?
It's a nice building out on a really like spacious piece of land in Waukee.
I say it sounds like you work at like Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory.
Yeah, it essentially is. Yeah. But Holmes Murphy, it's an insurance brokerage. So we kind of consult on the business side of things for companies. And also,
I've heard insurance is a scam, by the way.
Insurance is a scam. Yeah, no. well, I mean,
that's going to get clipped, by the way. That's going front page.
Go for it. Yeah. I should have worn my insurance never sleep shirt, but Nice. Yeah, no, insurance is way too expensive, so we're fighting against that. That's what we do. So
okay.
We're good guys.
So did you this is always fascinating to me because the other thing you mentioned was medical sales. And obviously sitting in that Iowa football meeting room, you have about three guys a year that show up and talk to you that happen to be in medical sales, and you're just like, sure, there's a lot of medical sales guys walking around in the alum section of this football thing. But that's not really a, you know, like Kevin, right, who's not here tonight. He's on his, I believe it's his final night of his honeymoon in Bora Bora. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Kevin. He does trauma sales for Stryker, and he didn't know anything about that job. It like when he got into it, it just baffles me how many jobs that pay pretty well, like are pretty. I mean, and sure, you got to grind in some industries and not as much in others, but you just get hired and then you just basically spend the first 6 months of being like in the company learning the actual job. Like that was something that was crazy to me when we got into the adult world. Not that I'm really even in it. But is that essentially what it was like?
Yeah, no. And that's what it's funny. I'm going to rip on the med sales people for a little bit.
Love it.
It's fine. I wish Kevin was here too, cause I'd say it to his face. But, I think how I view like our role is we're consultants. So we're not necessarily going to sell a product. We're selling, like our knowledge. And I think that's the fun piece of it is cause you have to be super educated on the industry. You have to understand it. It takes, I'm 2.5 years in and, you're still learning every single day. So I think that's the fun part about like the challenge of it. And to, I guess like leak it back to football. One of the hard things that I had, I tell the kickers that I train all the time, post football, I had such a hard time finding like a new adrenaline rush. Cause it's super easy to like run out onto Kinnick, run out into Happy Valley, and you get that instant adrenaline rush. And like, I can't find that anywhere until, you walk into meetings, talk to CEOs, CFOs of million-dollar, billion-dollar companies, and you're trying to essentially explain to them why they should hire us based off the knowledge that we know, the products that we sell, and us being unique and a better partner. Mm-hmm. So that to me is fun. That's like what drives me. To me, it's all about winning, like, and being the best. So I think that's the fun piece of it. Sure, like the industry, there's knowledge in a sense. But the good thing is we're not out there just pushing and selling a product like the med sales guys. Kidding for all the med sales people.
No, dude, I give them crap all the time that he's just waiting for someone to get smoked in a crosswalk.
Yeah. No kidding. It's like, here, let's go drink beer and here, take this this knee brace or whatever. I don't know what they do, but no.
I think that's basically sales in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's what they do. No, but I think it's a good spot for it. Des Moines insurance capital of the world is kind of what they say. Yeah. And I think like why those industries are very like athlete heavy is the drive that athletes have, the teamwork that athletes have, and just like the willingness to win. So yeah, I don't know. It's interesting stuff. And who knows, I'm 2.5 years in it and I love it. And,
it comes up in every podcast that like the desire to fill the gap, fill the void.
Yeah.
Which you find out like even just mentioning it again, I get goosebumps because you realize you can't.
Right.
I suppose there's a few other few other things in life that might be able to do it, but certainly not in the exact same way. They're just it's also why I cherish my time at Iowa and like the opportunity that I had because it was a very full circle moment. I used to watch videos of the Swarm back in like 2010 before I ever had a chance or opportunity to even walk through the door. And it was like that Iowa kid thing, that dream of like, my God, if I could get to do that,
right.
You feel that energy and that electricity through even just a video of the Swarm. And then I finally got to do it. I still remember my first Swarm. Still remember my last Swarm. Probably not all the ones in between. You just realize, like, well, nothing's gonna match that. So, right. I do. I understand what you're saying, where you're like trying to, you're talking to big time real business folk and trying to get them to hire you. I still feel like a small little jolt of that. Like when I land a new client, coaching client, or, you know, we get something big happens with the podcast. Yeah. But it doesn't last and it's not as cool and no one really knows or sees it. And it's, yeah. And I mean, a lot of people fill that with other competitive things like CrossFit or like Kevin's training for a triathlon or, you know, Drake does jujitsu, like all this stuff. And, the reality is we got the best hit of the drug and you're never going to get it back. So
yeah, it's like, I get excited about installing my shower door this weekend and I got a new weight rack downstairs with the pulley system. So
yeah, I just moved and finally yesterday, my gym is basically 99% complete and I got the 3-stall garage now. So one stall is completely dedicated to the gym.
I have an extra cage if you want it.
Really?
Yeah. So keep that in mind. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to have to talk about, that.
Yeah.
Where do I want to go from there? it's funny to me that we don't see each other. It's been like 2 years. I think the last time I actually did see you, you were at Fairway buying stuff for a company party.
Yes. Yeah. Wait, no, we ran into each other at, was it like Central Standard or something?
Oh, it might've been that too. I don't know.
Okay.
You end up in Waukee, which is where I end up. We happen to be teammates and like in the same position room and you're from North Carolina, just a very weird happenstance. And I'm wondering, because from my point of view, and maybe you were clearly, you went across the country to go to college and I don't know if I would have done that. Of course you walked on.
Yeah. Walked on.
Yeah. So you actually fit into the show. Okay. So you came across to sign up and pay for your college.
3 years. Okay, so
that makes it. Yeah. Oof, it's a good thing. You got the Holmes Murphy gig. Were you a homebody? Did you ever expect to land in Iowa and then college ends and you're like, okay, actually, I think I'll just start life here? Or did you think that you would go back and be like, okay, no, I know North Carolina. I'm familiar with this area, the company, the infrastructure of this side of the country. This is where I want to do. I want to be closer to family. Because that just seems like me thinking about that, like flip the script and let's just say hypothetically, I went to like Clemson to long snap. And then all of a sudden I'm on the East Coast and I'm just like, wait, I think I'll just stay here. Right. I don't think I would have ever done that. So I'm curious inside the mind of someone who did do that. Was that the plan or what did that look like when you were coming out of high school?
Yeah, it's actually, I was talking about this yesterday, coincidentally, and it's something that my dad told me when Coach Wallace called me when I was in the Buffalo Wild Wings, when he said like, hey, we're going to offer you. It's pretty funny.
He bullshitted you on that?
That was it. Coach Wallace called me. He's like, hey doc, like we're going to give you a preferred walk on. And I tried to commit like the first time he called me. And I was like, yes. He goes, it's like a marriage. Like you're not going to propose on the first date. So come up here and visit and then we can have a good That was the extent of my recruiting deal. So it's funny. Yeah. My dad said, he's like, it was classic Wallace move too, but when you go to college, be careful because you're probably going to stay where you're going to college. I'm like, no, like they have too many potatoes. Like I actually thought Iowa was Idaho. I was one of those troopers. now I get pissed when people say that. So, but I ended up staying. Like I loved it. And I think a big piece of that was just the community and the people that I met here. You even mentioned the Swarm and what I thought the Swarm would have been or how I feel like running out of the stadium was like very fast, very jolty, very exciting. And the adrenaline rush that I get from the Swarm is that it's understanding and seeing the people that are around in the stadium and like they're on your side. Like those are Iowans and they're super passionate about like what we're doing. And it's kind of like we're all in it together. And I think that's like the fun piece of Iowa and why I'm so passionate about the state, the Hawks, and essentially everything that I do here is because it's always kind of a giving back in a sense. But yeah, I mean, when I was going through, I mean, COVID year was my last year in college and going through the whole NFL draft stuff was really, really weird during that time. And in the back of my mind, I was like, it's probably not going to happen. Not really an interest at that time, really. Like, I was kind of ready to be done with football, quite frankly, especially after seeing how the NFL stuff was going on, and the process there. But I knew that I wanted to stay in Iowa. I knew that I wanted to be out of Iowa City for at least a little bit. I knew I had the kicking thing that I was going to start up. Shout out to the Sport and Recreation Management Program for getting that set up and helped me, essentially encourage me to set that up. And then I ran into Count the Kicks, and it's all about networking. And I tell the kids all the time, it's like, it's not about what you know right now. It's who you know, the questions you ask, and like the willingness to do something. So I think fortunately I had that instilled. I was able to ask questions, able to meet people, and here I am today. And it's only been 4 years in Des Moines, 3 years in Des Moines. So yeah, that's kind of my story and like how I ended up here in Iowa, stayed in Iowa, and I'll be here for the rest of my life too. So
you are, first of all, such a better person than me, just so much more community focused, and your, what drives you and what you feel through connectedness to the fans and the stadium and the Swarm is all external and like about the fans. And what I felt was like, damn, this is all about me right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool too, but
oh, dude, I'm just a shitty person, and it is what it is. I've accepted that, like, morally and just intrinsic value wise, I'm about myself more than your average person. And I just,
hey, you got the awareness. I love it. It's good.
It just,
you got a family too, so
just, other than my daughter and my wife, but other than that, I just
first steps have been good.
Yeah, that's right.
I probably did start the 12-step program or something. Anyway, aside from that, it's interesting to hear that you didn't, that you were okay, or even more leaning towards the fact or the route of not continuing football. I don't know if we talked about this. I think you've been on this show twice. Did we talk about your NFL opportunity? You mentioned that your last year was COVID, so 2020, just a completely effed year. Right. You, I mean, you guys, from the start of that, you know, the NCAA tournament getting canceled and all that in March, I think it was like March 13th, stuff started to go down, all the way through that season and like the season ending on you guys supposed to play Missouri and they can't play.
And Michigan
at the end of the regular season. Both games which you guys would have won.
Right.
That whole not to mention the Doyle stuff goes down that summer.
That was the big piece. Yep.
I mean, Jesus, right? Like it, yeah, just nut kick after nut kick.
Yeah.
Especially as a senior who's like got some opportunity to go to the league. I would bet, and we're far enough out from it now, I would bet seniors or people whose last year of eligibility for college across the board, not just a specialist from Iowa, but running backs, receivers, I bet the amount of players in the NFL right now that are, that would be, you know, take your third year player or your fourth year player, whatever that would be out of the COVID year in the NFL right now, and compare that to the last 10 years of a third year player in the NFL. I bet the percentage of people is much lower from that class just because guys didn't have opportunities. They couldn't go work out for teams. They couldn't, you know, agent contact was weird. They only had limited, a lot of people had limited tape, like
couldn't train anywhere.
There was nowhere to train. You couldn't even go to a local high school out in the open because they'll kick you off the field. Like, did you ever get a call? Did you ever get a call after the draft? Like, how did that work?
You're absolutely right on those things. So like, they could not try us out. They couldn't fly us out to try out. That's not true. They had five spots, I believe, and I may be wrong on this, but I believe that they had five opportunities to fly people out, like individuals, to like go visit like the Jags or the Patriots or whatever it was. It wasn't going to be a kicker that they were going to do that with. So, and it was even extremely limited on them coming to Pro Day. So the Patriots ran our Pro Day, and that was really kind of, I thought, like my only shot too. And I think that class, Evan McPherson and Riley Patterson, I was actually training with those guys down in Texas with Jamie. Those were, I think, the two guys to come out of that class and are still playing. But there was not much opportunity in that year either too. I also pissed down my leg at Pro Day, so that didn't help. And that was my one time to kick in front of coaches outside of film. And as you know, I didn't have the best leg talent either. So that didn't help at all. I get it. Like NFL is a business. And like my knee was torn up as well too at that time.
Really?
I had like 8 PRP shots. It felt like, but yeah, after pro day, like Patriots, they were essentially like we could bring you on, but we're going to cut you after camp. We're just trying to keep our reps down for the starter. And that's just how it goes. And I get it. I wasn't interested in that. And I think the big piece of it too, what I didn't realize was at Iowa, you do the things that you do the little details to help bring value to the team. And that's not the NFL necessarily, was what my experience was. It's very like you do it for you. It's a job at that point. Whereas like I hear some guys, like they don't want to make the playoffs because they have more time on vacation. And I get it. Like they, and I talked to like some of my buddies now, it's like, there's guys on the team, they go to the clubs after, or they go home to their families. And it's like, there's not much hanging out with your teammates. And that's the only piece that I miss about college is, yes, I loved playing football, but I miss going back to the house and having like my 3 closest friends there the entire day.
Absolutely.
That was the best part about college. That's the only thing I like really, really miss about college.
Makes me think of that clip from the, I don't know who he played for, like a Cinderella team in the NCAA tournament. And he's just bawling at the microphone after the game. And they're like, what are you going to miss the most? And he's just like, going out to eat.
Yeah.
One of the funniest clips just out of context of all time, but it's a real answer that has a lot behind it. It's kind of what you're talking about there.
Well, and you even mentioned it. It's like we were close in college. We live 2 miles away. Austin Schulte, one of my best friends in college, lives in Ankeny. Colton lives not too far away. Like some of my closest friends are still somewhat around, but like life gets busy and it's really hard. Like people are getting married and having kids now. I'm like, what are we doing? I'm kidding. I'm like, I still have my dog and that's about it. But
you have to have it's intercourse. That's what you have.
Right. Right. I did not. That's the thing that I'm missing out on.
I know. I just make sure you were aware.
Right. I'll write that one down.
Do it.
But yeah, like life gets busy and it's hard to connect with people.
Like Kevin and I have talked about this. Like we talked about it a couple months ago and made it like a little PSA, like, hey, call your boys, set up a trip. I think it was in the aftermath of his bachelor party, cause he got married last weekend or 2 weekends ago. And you're my friend, former teammate. He's like best friend in my class, lived with him, roommate, former teammate. I see him almost as much as I see you.
Right.
Like I see him once or twice a year. It's just wild.
I think guys are a little bit different too.
Yeah, for sure.
Like girls are chit chatting every day. I'm like, oof, I have a hard time texting my mom back sometimes. I'm sorry, mother, if you're listening to this, but
sorry, Keith's mom.
Guys, you know.
No, but you're right. That's what you miss, and that makes sense. That checks out. Like the business side of things. Plus it sounds like it was sort of a perfect storm of like injury, bad pro day, COVID, all of that. And you're just like, okay, I'm done with this then. Like I'm done.
Yeah. And that's life too. Like,
and I think what's crazy about that, Keith, is you had this year where you get snubbed on the Groza. We went over that. I know for sure on the last time you were on, we don't have to rehash that, but like quite literally in my opinion, probably every Hawkeye's opinion and many of the opinions of, even the people who were deciding, you had like the best statistical year in the nation at your position. And then all of a sudden you listen to like that story of how much opportunity you truly had at the next level. And it's basically zero.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's crazy. Like there's a lot of people out there probably wondering, why isn't Keith Duncan kicking in the NFL?
Right. And well, and then you see Shudak too.
I know.
Like, Shudak kicked 1 year and is legit.
Yeah.
Very good. And he bounced around in the NFL for a little bit too, still playing. And just got married and had another kid. So
is he kicking indoor now?
Is that
or like arena league?
He is in the Council Bluffs area.
That's cool, man.
From the last time I chatted with them, I think they're starting a team over there. I don't know if this is public, so who cares?
No, I saw it. Definitely saw that online somewhere.
Oh, okay. I knew about that a long time ago. I didn't know if the team came out and said like they're starting a team. Either way, I think that was his plan. But I just saw that he started a new job. I got to text him. But he just got married a couple weeks ago.
I saw that. We got to figure that out. But yeah, that's crazy to a lot of people. They're like, why isn't Keith Duncan kicking? And then there's the nuance of, well, specifically for Keith, like you and I both know, you know, kickoffs weren't your thing.
Right.
You go to the NFL, there's ultra limited spots. So you kind of have to be a do it all guy. And that was, you know, there was a hang up there. And then, you know, the whole thing goes down. It's just like, okay, well, no opportunity for me.
Yeah. That's just how it is. Yeah. It's kind of funny to see, especially with the kickers. They don't keep a lot of them on practice squad either.
No.
So it's just there's 32 spots. There's 32 spots, and you're easy to get rid of too. That's the NFL stands for not for long, is the joke. So
yeah. Is it weird for you to be sort of significantly out of Iowa City now and away from the team? You have that first year where you're like, okay, I still know everybody on the team though. Like there's one freshman class that I don't know. There's nobody really contributing from that class. Maybe one guy, the rest of the team, you know, the first year we were out, 2018, it's Gervas and Hesse and Matt Nelson and Anthony Nelson, all these guys, Nate Stanley, everybody's still, the team is everybody but your class. And then the next year it's a little less. And then year three, you're like, man, there's been a lot of turnover. Like, and so for you, this will be your fourth season out.
Yeah.
At this point, and there's still a little bit of COVID in there. So there's some extra people who have got an extra year that you probably were on the team with, but like this year you probably didn't play or didn't even really talk to a whole lot of like most of the starting roster, both sides of the ball.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause when we did Hawkeye Championship, it was myself and Petrus were captains of one of the teams.
Yep.
And I think the guys I'm thinking of, like LaShawn Williams, Jay Higgins, Castro, Quinn Schulte, like it's the last class. And that's, I was just thinking about that when you were talking about the Swarm stuff too. I remember the year after I was done, I was still like super, super passionate and invested, which I still am.
Yeah, keyed in.
In the form of like still getting tickets from the players, like they're stealing their parents' tickets.
Yeah.
Throwing stuff at people, and they're yelling at Spencer and stuff and stuff like that. And
Keith is starting fights about Petrus in the crowd. Unreal.
Yeah. I'm sitting there. Yeah. Saying stuff that I probably shouldn't have said, but I don't care. To where now it's like I kind of do stuff, Hawks to Professionals things. So Iowa athletes looking for careers and opportunities in Des Moines. We hosted an event at Holmes Murphy, trying to introduce them to, you know, professionals here, careers here. I knew none of the football guys.
I would just take them to that cold brew machine, bro.
That's what I said. Drink it. Your leg will start twitching and then you'll do whatever.
Like take them to the cold brew in the CrossFit gym.
Yeah. But yeah, it's so weird. Like I don't know many of the guys on the team anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, who's that number three now? Or who's that number 12? So you got to relearn everyone.
Yeah. It's made it difficult from our end on the podcast too. Cause those first couple of years, you're like, oh yeah, I know that guy, have this story with him in the locker room. There was a lot of, and I don't know, I see the numbers, so I know the numbers, but, other people have their own opinions of like, you know, the haters of this podcast in the early days. I even remember Marshall Kane telling me after like a year ish, maybe 2 years, like, what are you going to do when you don't know but anybody on the team anymore? Like, how are you guys still going to stay relevant? Like, how are you guys – like, is anybody going to listen to you? And I guess the answer is yes, because, again, I see the numbers. But it's tough. Like, this time of year, I think just today – people will hear this on Monday, but today was Big Ten Media Days. Coach Ferentz spoke. Schulte and Higgins and Lachey are there. You know, new depth chart comes out and I have to like sit there and be like I feel like a goddamn beat reporter. I'm like, okay, I gotta go watch these guys' highlights. I gotta go back and watch any film I can watch on these guys who on special teams last year, of any of the replays on YouTube. I gotta read other people. Like I gotta read through all the beat reporters' reports on this guy so that I have an opinion. Cause if I don't, I'm only going to know the stars of the team like everybody else, like your average fan does. And I have a podcast. I have to talk about this. So it's very weird. I've gotten more used to it since I'm – well, this will be – what will this be? My eighth year out?
Yeah, it feels weird. And it goes by
1920. One, two, three, four. This will be my seventh season that goes by that I'm out of the program. So it's like, yeah, like I don't, there's not even anybody. I mean, it's wild that I still know the coaches, even half of them. So
I'm only learning the team through College Football 2025 now. I just got it. And
been playing?
It's good stuff. If Luke Lachey keeps dropping the ball over the middle, I'm going to get pissed and I'm going to text him.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
Yeah, and that's what – okay, so I have a funny story. Luke was another one of the guys. His locker was right next to me when I was a senior. He was a freshman. I got introduced to Luke when I was actually doing the Groza trip.
Okay.
So Lou Groza, his son Judd, is there and kind of helps, you know, do the whole tour and stuff. He went to Ohio State, and he's like, hey, do you know Luke Lachey? He's a tight end coming into town. I was like, I think I've heard of him, like, through some of the commitments and stuff.
Yeah,
he's like, yeah, like, look out for him. Like, he'll be a pretty good kid because he was best friends with Luke's dad, who's the color guy for Ohio State.
Right.
And it's like, hey, heads up for Luke. And now you see Luke. I mean, geez, he'll be a first rounder this upcoming year.
Yeah,
and
so he's
like, nicest dude ever. So it's like, Luke, like, I know who you are. Your locker ends up right next to me. But
right.
You need to start catching the seam routes up the middle. So.
Yeah. So, well, speaking of the game, Grant, just a small, quick internal plug on a series we got coming up. Grant here, our intern, I like to call him intern. It's intern Gary. We call him Gary, not even Grant. Kevin sent this to me, Grant.
I don't even know what's happening here. I'm lost.
I'm gonna share the screen. Hold on. This. Extra Life Charity Challenge, College Football 25. He said that the walk-on should sponsor Gary in this thing. It is a test your college football video game skills in a charity tournament at Kinnick Stadium with proceeds benefiting the Children's Hospital.
We're in.
It's basically a College Football 25 tournament, I think, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on September 28th.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I'd have to figure out how to get to Iowa City.
Yeah, we'd have to get you back to Iowa City, but like we could get you in a tournament representing the walk-ons. It will only cost us, wait for it, you got to raise at least $500. We'd spot you the $500.
Okay.
First 240 to get a bracket spot will gain access to Duke Slater Field where they can meet Iowa football players. You can meet Iowa football players and coaches, Grant. We can do interviews from the field.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what they want, right?
That's what they want. You could take the mini mic.
Surprise interview. Hey, coach.
dude, if we raise $1,000, we just got to put up another $500 and you get to tour the locker room and the tunnel.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Huh? This is enticing. Enticing stuff.
So,
good idea.
So, Gary Grant here is going to be doing like a Coach Grant series for our walk-on army. Yeah. Where he streams him playing NCAA 25, and he's going to rebuild a program from the dirt.
I love
him,
it.
And take him to a natty.
Oh, yeah.
Field goals only.
Feels cool. Yeah. I've heard the kicking and punting is the hardest part of the game.
It's easily the most difficult. Defense, probably most difficult. But
just like in the real world, it's the most
important. For sure. Facts. Most big important. Facts.
That's right.
So – want to shift to this quick. You coach now for Dowling.
Mm-hmm.
Trader. I don't know where that coaching takes you, but a couple of our favorite coaches, relevant coaches to us at Iowa, went through a couple escalations in their career, potentially title changes last year. Wally Bear got slapped with the assistant head coach title. And then there were rumors, and we just had LeVar. I don't know if you listened to the LeVar episode yet, but we had LeVar on about a month ago.
Yeah, I saw that.
Great. Like probably potentially the best all time received episode we've ever done.
He's awesome.
It came out that he had interviewed with the Bucs last year and was maybe seeking other opportunities. We know that both of those guys have had other opportunities come to them for years and years since we were there and before. What did you think about all that? when you saw those happen last year?
Yeah, I knew about that. Without I think diving too much into it, there's some other stuff too that I knew about, and I think like just knowing Woods, knowing again Planet Iowa, Iowa guy from West Lyon, just a great dude, and I think super super passionate. I'd say he's been my best role model since he came into being the position that he's at now, not from just a football standpoint, but just being a good person and knowing how to be a leader. So that's kind of what I learned from Coach Woods. I still talk to him at least 3 times a week. So he's like a super big part of my life still. He is just a phenomenal person. So it was more to the sense like I wanted him to stay in Iowa, like selfishly, because I know what he does for the Hawks, and I also know what he does just, you know, for the guys that he's coached and everything. So, he's just like a super, super good individual, and it's cool now to see Mason going to Iowa next year too. So hopefully that locks Coach Woods in for another 4 years.
That's what we kind of mentioned it on the show. I was like, well, Mason's staying home. So that probably, you know, that keeps mom and dad around. It's tough, man, because we know that he's an elite, top level, probably head coach someday in football. Even the idiots who come out with like lists for clicks, like, you know, like PFF or I don't know who, you name it, Big Game Boomer on Twitter.
Yeah.
Even they have him as like a top 1, top 3 coordinator as a potential head coach very near future. So we're just sitting here kind of if no one talks about it, maybe he'll stay, right? Like we won't have to like lose Coach Woods. And we know that Coach Ferentz is on the very back end of his career. Who knows? I feel like it's any year at this point. It's just when he decides he's done. And it's tough because you're looking at two coaches who we both love, Wallace and LeVar, and it's like, oh, you're probably going to lose one of them. Like and then LeVar gets hit with that assistant head coach spot, and you're like, okay, so are they tabbing him the guy? Is he the guy then? And does this mean LeVar's going to go like take over at Oregon? And like, you know, like it's crazy to see. It's crazy.
Cool. And I think
I still talk to him a lot too, but the fact that you're texting like every week, multiple times a week,
Oh, sorry. I think I'm laggy a little bit.
You're good. Go ahead.
There's something that's installing. I don't know why it's now, but no, I think I still help out with some of the specialists at Iowa, and then obviously consulting on some other colleges as well too. But it's like an easy way to connect with him. But he reaches out just like non-football related, like, hey, how's life? Like, how are you doing? And I think it sounds like dumb in a sense, but I think that's why I see him being a phenomenal head coach in the future, because he is a connector. He's really good with people. One of his best traits is observation. And I think ultimately, like, that's kind of what I would look for as a player for a head coach. By no means do I know anything schematically about football outside of special teams and what it looks like to be a head coach. I see some of the traits with Coach Ferentz too. Coach Woods' personality is obviously a little bit different too, but yeah, he's just a connector, a really good person. And I would say the same exact thing about Coach Wallace. And I get it at work all the time. Like Iowa fans are always coming up and saying like, so who's it going to be, like Woods or Wallace? And I'm like, I hope it's both of them, because I love both of them. Like, they're great. So I
get again, your pants down.
Yeah. It's like, I hope they both stay around. Cause they're just great dudes, great people, great coaches.
Love your thoughts on that. Thank you. Thank you for that. Very professional answer. Let's talk about this. We're going to get to Torrey being gone now and this Reese kid stepping in. Sounds like you might have some inside information. I'd love to pull that out of you and the new Big Ten and what this looks like. Cause we played in a different Big Ten, but first I want to make sure we get there. Kate, I'm coming back around to you. Tell me about this Count the Kicks thing. We talked about it before. Me and you and Kate and family met 2 years ago, right about 2 years ago, very close to talk about it and adding it into as part of the podcast. And we featured it for like first half of the season. And then like because it was never anything solid, it kind of faded out. And I want it to be part of the podcast. I love it. There's not a lot of people where I'm like, yeah, let's partner with them and actually spend time of our hour show every week or 2 hours every week on the air, like giving this time and effort. This is one of those things that I like. It's so sick. It obviously hits home for me now too, because when I learned about this, we were pregnant with our first kid, and it's very cool. So tell me about it. How did it start? And then we can kind of get into it. I can play Coach Ference's little promo on it that Kate sent us, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Yes. Super cool organization. How I was introduced to it was through Will Safras, who's now punting at Missouri. Will's mom is Kate. Kate unfortunately had a loss due to stillbirth and wanted to do something about it after essentially researching more and more about prevention, what are ways to obviously prevent stillbirth, how frequent and how prevalent it actually was. So her and four other moms in the Des Moines area started Count the Kicks. And the very simple mission behind it is reduce stillborn births across the nation, not only in the country now, but it's worldwide, that we've heard of Baby Saves. And how we're doing it is essentially educating expectant parents on the importance of tracking your baby's kicks and movements in the third trimester. So doing that, maybe seeing irregular kick beat or movement would then allow you to, or give you a red flag of, hey, maybe it's time to go just check to make sure everything's okay. So there have been, I mean, I know Kate sent you all the stats on the baby saves, but just in the state of Iowa, over the past couple of years, the stillbirth rate's been reduced by more than 33%. So which that's really cool just off of an easy task of counting your baby's movements. So that's kind of what Count the Kicks does from a very high level standpoint. Then I came to Kate and Will one lesson. I'm like, hey, I did this thing in high school where I found pledges, I found donors, and they would donate a certain dollar amount for every point that I scored in the season. Like, why don't we do that with Count the Kicks? And it's like, oh, light bulb kind of went off. So that was kind of the idea behind Every Kick Counts. And I got the rep right here, Every Kick Counts. And that's the campaign that we started specific to kickers and punters, long snappers, specialists as a whole, that are essentially doing the same thing that I did in high school, which was going out to find pledges that donate a certain dollar amount per point they scored, or flat dollar amount. So this is our third year doing it. And just cumulatively, we have raised over $350,000 now over the last 3 years. And yes, we love the funding. Yes, we're very gracious for it. But where I see, the benefit in it is the education piece and the word spreading. They're giving out handouts in OBGYN clinics now, seeing the high school kids get involved. So we grew from 50 participants our first year to now we have well over 150, that is leading into this third year. Have a couple NFL guys, have well over 20 kickers and punters. And now we're releasing this year a program called Game Changers, which is branching outside of just kickers and punters and letting any sport, any position participate in the same event. So it's been a really cool thing. And again, from my standpoint, I had zero personal experience with stillbirth. But now kind of just seeing how it impacted some of, the families, the kickers, hearing more and more about these stories. It is a really easy thing to educate yourself on and makes a big impact. So it's a fun time.
Just another example through that monologue there of how much better you are at personal relations and talking than me. It's unbelievable how actually special I am. It's crazy. Great description, great way of laying that out. The cool thing about the Every Kick Counts is it's an unbelievable way to not only support the cause but also support your athlete, and then like the athlete gets like this little like extra motivation, like, yeah, there's a little extra on the line, trying to raise some money here. And I think they have a little competition, like biggest, you know, biggest fundraiser. Cause I was at your event that you had at the Recplex where you guys did that. You know, the top earners or top funders, top raisers, fundraisers got like recognized, which is cool. And there was Estella's there, by the way, which was unbelievable.
That's the best part. We love Estella's. They're great.
They're unreal. It's just unreal. So super cool. And not only that, but Tori was a part of this as well.
Yep.
And I think you can, we got a little link here, right? Like, and I will post this in the description of the YouTube video and the description of the podcast on all the platforms. There's a link here. It's bit.ly/EKCHawks. And you can support, it says right there, fans can support the Hawkeye Specialists at that link. Again, I'll put it up there. And if you want that link, you can just DM me too, and I'll send it to you. But you can essentially, you're like, all right, cool. Every time Drew Stevens knocks through a field goal for those 3 points, for each point, I'm donating $5. So every field goal he makes is 15 bones, $5 for a PAT. And then over the course of the season, that racks up, and it's like now you're following along. How much money can he raise? Same thing with all the other athletes. And again, the fact that you're going into other sports, what is like, I think I saw last year a little dabbling with like every kill counts with volleyball.
Yeah. That wasn't us, but I kind of like the play on words. Maybe it was, I don't know.
I thought it was connected. Maybe it wasn't, but that
I've got bad memory. So maybe it was, but
I mean, you guys could do basketball. I'm sure this is what you're already thinking about, but like,
yeah, you know, and that's what we're doing this year. But to keep it administratively friendly, we're calling it Game Changers. Right. So every kit counts. Game Changers, essentially the same idea. Sure. Game Changers is just any and every sport, every position. And you kind of hit it like nail on the head. It's actually it's going to be a fun year this year. So Ray Gunn, as you've seen, everyone knows Ray Gunn. Yep. They are awesome. Mike Draper over at Ray Gunn has been tremendous from a partnership standpoint for us, but just bringing new ideas. So our goal this year, and Kate may slap my wrist for saying this because I don't know if it's public yet, but
she said you can tease the collab.
Okay, cool.
On the thing.
Yeah, I think we want to do a state championship. So we've got all specialists signed up from you and I, Drake, Iowa State, and Iowa. So our goal is to do like a quote unquote state championship, make some cool t-shirts out of it too. And again, it's going for a good cause, and it's a really good way to, again, just thinking about the Iowa connection, Iowa community, just build some passion behind those games. And yeah, we don't have to hear Iowa State fans cry as much anymore. And we beat them again and again and again. At least some of those points are going back to a good cause. So yeah, that's kind of the idea. But
I'm gonna play this. This is Coach Ferentz all the way back in like a while ago. He did a little promo for them, and that really helped spark this in the beginning. When you hear the head man talk about something, it gets people involved. So what's the website? Is it countthekicks.com.org?
Yes, I believe
probably so. One of those. Just search it and you'll find it. It'll pop up on Google.
Count the Kicks. Type in Count the Kicks.
Okay, I'm gonna play this little to short on YouTube. We can hear the headman talk about this. Hold on a second. See if it'll.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Kirk Ferentz of the University of Iowa Hawkeyes. Did you know that nearly 70 babies are stillborn in the United States every day? Unfortunately, many of these tragedies are unexplained, but there are some ways pregnant women can help reduce their risk. Let me put it in football terms. On the field, every kick counts, whether it's a punt, extra point, or a field goal. That's why we keep track of the statistics.
Oh, shit, all right.
It's not unlike the role of expectant parents. A baby's activity in the womb is an indicator of its health, so many experts say that monitoring your baby's kicks during the last trimester is a simple, free, and effective way to help reduce the risk of having a stillbirth. It's a great way to bond also, so involve your partner. Pregnancy is no game. Ask your doctor how to perform a kick count or visit countthekicks.org for more information.
Pregnancy ain't no game, the headman said.
I was like, Coach Ferentz loves to kick. And so, yeah, that was kind of kind of the joke. He actually did this
before. Hey, but that's actually bullshit, though. Like, KF needs to come around on this. You had one season where he gave you a bunch of opportunities, or maybe it just fell that way.
Right.
They are not kicking field goals at the rate that we need to be. Like, we're going for it or punting too many times. This is one of my things. I'm going completely off topic. Don't worry, Nate, and count the kicks. We'll come back around. KF and them are bullshitting on some long field goals. We get out to 45 to 55 range, which is super makeable for college kickers, especially the guys that we had. And we would get scared to kick those field goals, and it pissed me off every single time. That's just a little soapbox. Just wanted to put that out there.
And we got a good operation, too. And even the guys like
– right
guys
now or like, we did?
Well, both. But I'll even say, like, not even Drew. Like, there's three guys on that team that I would feel comfortable, like, stepping in. And
really?
Again, I don't make the decisions, but I like seeing kicks. That's what we do.
Same. Same. Yeah. So visit Count the Kicks. Sign up. You might have a local kicker or punter at an Iowa high school near you participating in this. Try and figure that out. Or if you just want to help, just sign up to support Drew and Reese.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, last cue on that, I think, like, even just as like local businesses, we've seen awesome ties to like just sponsorship matches. I'll use Estella because they are phenomenal. They're the best. Yeah. They matched $5,000 the first Satori. So that's kind of an initiative that we're having the guys do is, hey, any local business that you have. But yeah, it's fun. Fun deal.
Love it. Tory Taylor, he's gone.
He's gone.
Are we fucked?
No.
Reese Dakin can smoke.
He can hit it.
He's got a cannon, dude.
He can hit it.
I'm so excited. I'm so happy. We know Drew is pretty money. Like, right? Like, yeah. Drew is good. I don't know where I'd put him. In the last, you know, five or six kickers, we probably have to rank. Maybe we bring you back on. We do a top five Iowa kickers of the AF era or something. Yeah. Elkin's good. He's not me, but he's good, right? He's not me.
Yeah, he's good.
He's taller than me, right?
He's taller.
He snaps way better PATs, and this is why I'm saying he's not me.
Yeah.
Now, punt snaps, I think I got him on punt snaps. I think I still have him on punt snaps. Have you kicked a ball recently? Because I can still zing it, dude.
I did today. My knees don't agree with me, so it doesn't look great anymore.
My body feels great, and I'm throwing piss missiles back there.
That's a good
feeling. And of course, I have Mike Myers' ball from the Atlanta Falcons, the Duke,
right.
And it flies like a bullet.
Yes.
But again, not about me. Luke Elkin is the elite, by the way. Yeah, Luke, if this gets back to you, you're better than me in every way, and you're bigger than me, so hopefully you get a chance in the NFL, because I didn't. The operation's pretty good. Luke, very seasoned, came in after Spiewak had his struggles in 21 and has held the job ever since. Drew kicked last year and was very good as a freshman. Not as good as you, but good. But now we have this Reese kid. He steps in. What's the impact of Tory leaving that room, both on the field and off?
I think on the field, Tory, had like the largest impact. And there's going to be some learning curves as always. And I think the learning curves don't come from the biggest ball necessarily. Like Reese can hit it, like probably hits a much bigger ball than Tory. It's probably just the consistency, getting used to the weather, what types of punts are we hitting, and just the speed. And I think that's the biggest thing that I didn't realize going into college is the speed of the game is so much quicker. Yeah. And your routine, it's less about the physical things that he's doing. Like, he's got it. Like, he made it to Iowa, right? That's why you get recruited. And you see this a lot with kickers. Some of the top-ranked guys go to these schools and they don't do well.
Yeah.
It's because they're not college ready. And that's the biggest thing is getting Reese college ready. And we've had like some ideas, some thoughts there too. But it's like, to me, his first year, like, yes, he's going to go out and perform well. But if he like locks down his routine, not only from the sideline, but off the field, uses Drew, uses Luke, having Coach Woods there as a resource, that's going to elevate him into like a Tory style career. Whereas I'm not worried about the results on the field at all. I'm more excited to see like what he's going to grow into because he's still super raw.
Torrey almost had this. It was, I think, why he was so good right away, and it provided them this huge base, this floor that was already so high, which allowed him to max out his ceiling. Torrey didn't know anything about football.
Okay, so that
was like it was like the superpower of his. He didn't even know what game he was playing. He's just like told to kick a ball, and it was almost like if you could just get every kid to know or to approach it that way. There's no pressure. There's no like he didn't even know if he was gonna how big his kicks were affecting the game, and so that allowed him to almost like bypass this mental block that a lot of people could have. And I don't know how familiar Reese is. Obviously, he's from Australia as well. I almost did an accent, but I don't want to embarrass myself. Good eye, Mike. Maybe he has that. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Torrey got the – and I'll joke with him too. He got lucky his first year. His first year was one COVID year, so there were no fans in the stands.
Yeah.
And his first game was at Northwestern, so it's like a high school field. So I'm like, oh, okay, you're used to this sort of deal.
Sure.
But yeah, like – and I think Torrey's trait – and honestly, any Australian that I know, Max Duffy, he won the Ray Guy over at Kentucky, same guy. Like, they're just super nonchalant.
Yeah. Like,
whatever happens, they're good. Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's super nonchalant. Like, yes, they're still super passionate about winning, but, like, it's like, man, like, we're good. I got it. And I think that's, like, was a huge benefit to Torrey is, like, again, physically, he's got it. He came in a little bit older, of course, like, more mature. And I think Reese is a little bit younger compared to when Torrey came in, but like their attitude and how they go about just life is super different. I think it helps them just super nonchalant. And yeah, I think, it'll be interesting.
It's crazy. Grant, you got any questions for this Joker?
In the insurance game, yes. How often when you're selling, do you throw in the, hey, remember when I played Iowa football?
That is so funny. I never do, like, unless it naturally comes up, of course, but I'm not going to be that guy to be like, hey, do you know who I am? Sort of deal. And I think it also
Keith will just casually throw, you remember that Michigan game?
Yeah, right.
Crazy last play, huh?
Yeah. Who was that guy again? I remember doing that. I'm such a douche, but
who snapped?
Who was that guy? But you know how they play? I'll get back to the insurance question because it is funny. But you know how they like play games when we're eating?
Yeah.
Like, whatever. It was like, I was a senior and they had the Michigan game on. And I think I was up to, it was junior year because I went up to Petrus. I was like, hey, I got to go. Let me know what happens at the end of this game. Just let me know. And like, that was just me, just classic. But it does come up naturally. Not because like, I obviously look like a football player, but names are on some documents and it's like, okay, wait, I got to ask. And it's like, yep. That's me.
Don't look like a 15-year-old anymore, which is cool.
Right.
You got 5 o'clock shadow. You look like an adult, right. Which is crazy. I didn't know that would happen.
Yeah. It's unreal. I've got some facial hair. I can't take it away or else it looks like I'm back to 15 again.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a good time. And especially in Iowa, like people get it. There's some funny stories that have come from it.
Keith Duncan.
Never even as like a last Hail Mary, like these guys like, I don't know. I just don't know if you guys are for us. You're not like, well, I don't know if you remember back in 2017, pretty cool game. I might've participated in. I know you're a big Hawkeye fan.
Yeah.
Could be a thank you.
So there is that side. There's also the total opposite side. I obviously won't say like who it was or who we talked to, but, and it's a complete joke, by the way.
You run into a Michigan fan and you're right. I did not play for the Iowa.
It was a Nebraska fan. He's like, okay, I got to ask, like, was it you? And I was like, yeah, he starts cussing me out. Just straight up cussing me out.
You telling me you'd blow him a kiss too?
Yeah. No, it was all like fun and games, but no, it was funny. So I've seen the opposite side to it too.
So then you mentioned earlier you're playing the new college football game. I get it. And I know kickoffs weren't really your thing, but kicking is so difficult in this game. I've never been able to successfully get an onside kick. What is the key to getting a onside kick recovered in real life or in the game, whatever you want, because I just need any help I can get.
Yep. Okay. So I don't know about the game yet. I'm going to try that out actually right after we get off this. But in real life. I was just going over it today. Funny coincidence. Okay, so I am totally against like the traditional bouncers. Have you seen like those twisters that's been on the ground and rotate? It's the
twisters, dude.
It's the twisters. Big twister or big kind of outnumber a certain side and just fingers crossed and throw your head into someone and find a ball.
I think the cheeky answer there to channel my inner Tory also is recovering an onside and really any fake in special teams, 80% of it is calling it at the right time against the right look.
Yeah.
Probably 90% of it. And then the physical execution of it is like 10%. That's honestly the answer.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, that's why you see a lot of teams call timeout, right? When you see the setup, because you can see how the ball's placed, where the ball's placed, what the alignment looks like. But yeah, I'm a big like motion guy, get people moving, get people looking left to right, and throw the ball somewhere where there's some outnumbered individuals, and then go grab eyes, face masks, punch people, pinch people, and
get them in the nuts. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. And then lastly, I'm curious, what do you think of new NFL kickoff rules?
Good question. I think it'll come to the college football in less than 2 years. I think so.
I agree.
And I don't know if I'm a fan or not a fan of it yet. I was saying this the other day that, like, I like that you can take a kickoff back and score 6 points, like, right off the bat. But I also hate that it kind of throws the game in the other team's favor when they were kind of getting their, like, asses kicked a little bit. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
Well, are you going to have to start teaching your kickers then, like, proper tackling? Because if more kicks are getting returned, then they're the last line of defense.
Well, and like that'll be interesting. Like,
Keith ain't teaching fucking tackling.
My tackling is throw him to Sammy's sideline over there, or throw your helmet at his knees. If you don't hit him, wipe your hands and go sit back on the heated bench. That's the best advice that I would give. It'll be interesting. I don't have an answer on that yet because I haven't really. Watch too many games.
I need to see it in action as well more. My final question is this, Keith. The new Big Ten, we add 4 teams. The whole conference realignment thing is just crazy and doesn't even make sense. Out of the 4 new stadiums or 4 new environments, not just stadiums because the Rose Bowl is sick, obviously, but right. Out of USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, you can turn back the time. Where would Keith Duncan go and hit a big-time field goal?
Easy answer. It's got to be Oregon. Easy. Yeah. Easy answer. I guess second would probably be Washington. I think their fans are passionate. When we played USC,
you also knocked their nuts off. Yes, so.
We did. They were just boring to play and they like did not care to be there. Definitely Oregon.
All right. There it is. Keith Duncan, everybody. countthekicks.org or .com or .net. One of them, search it in Google. It'll be there. Keith, thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Good chatting, and see you soon.
We'll talk to you next week on the podcast. Hopefully another guest. Well, actually, definitely another guest because I have 3 lined up currently. Grant doesn't even know about that one. Quick reminder, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, head to thewashedupwalkons.com this Friday or check out any of our social media pages, just Washed Up Walk-Ons on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Please follow us there, by the way. All the updates, all of the clips, all the stuff that we do are on those social media pages. We will blast out this merchandise drop on Friday, August 2nd, 2024. You're not going to want to miss it because we have possibly, almost probably, certainly the best Hawkeye piece of merchandise for this fall and beyond. It's the Kirk's Dogs collaboration between George Kittle and us, the walk-ons. It's the cleanest shirt that's ever been done. We jumped through a lot of hoops to get here, and it's finally here. Own one today. Oh, and by the way, your purchase helps the Children's Hospital. 50% of all profit goes to UI Children's. Thank you for supporting us, the kids, the walk-ons, and the Hawks. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.